May the word of God bring us to the God of his word. Amen. A mother was getting her children ready for church one Sunday morning. And as she was speaking to them, she wanted to make sure that they were going to behave. In order to be certain that they had heard her, she asked the eldest, "Why is it necessary to be quiet in church?" The child replied, quick as a flash, "Because everyone is sleeping, Mum." My topic for this sermon is, there is more to church. Yes, there is more to church than children having to be quiet, everyone dressing in their Sunday best, and the congregation falling asleep. Common stereotypes which I hope can be quickly dismissed. Yes, there may be occasions when church services are boring. Like anything else, a round of golf, a piece of music, or doing some art, it can't be super exciting every single time. Church worship has the potential to bring us into an encounter with God. We may have some wonderful experiences of knowing him close, or praising him in hymns, or kneeling at the altar and receiving him, or even hearing something in a sermon which hits the spot. But perhaps we're not always, every week, in the right place to sense his presence. We have other distractions and find ourselves wandering off. But we don't just come for self-gratification. Yes, we do receive, but we also come to be together. You see, the church is more than this beautiful building. In fact, if the building was destroyed tomorrow, the church would still exist. You may have been to Coventry and seen the bombed shell of the pre-war cathedral, right next to the new cathedral. In the weeks after it was bombed, the church didn't cease to exist. The people were still gathering together and they did everything in the church community they'd normally do. The first Christians didn't have a church building to worship in, and neither did Jesus. He spent time in the synagogue, but the church met in people's homes, by the lake, up the mountain. So if we've established that there's more to church than the building, the church is a group of people coming together, then what of those people? There are two comments I hear about people's perception of church. The first comment I hear is that the church is for people who need a crutch. This comment implies that Christianity is for people who are weak. In our society, weakness is seen as a huge disadvantage. Generally, people want to be strong and on top of their lives, successful and prosperous. Only people who cannot cope go to church. People who are psychologically in need to use church as a crutch. Is there more to church than this? No, there isn't. The church is absolutely the place for the weak. I stand here as someone who is weak. None of us is perfectly in control of our lives all the time. I used to think I could manage quite well on my own. I'm a pretty independent person, but it took a strange turn of events in my life to realize that actually I'm pretty sure human beings are designed to be in community and that we each need each other. Around 9 years ago, when my children were very small, I completely, out of the blue, had an epileptic fit. It was not very nice, but actually, the main problem was that I was not able to drive for a year. Suddenly, I lost a great deal of independence. I found it very hard to ask people for lifts, and I struggled around on the bus with shopping and a buggy. Often, I'd take ludicrous routes to get to places, which I could have got to in a tenth of the time had I asked someone for a lift. When the year was up, I was very pleased I could get back behind the wheel. However, a few weeks later, I had another fit. Suddenly, I was faced with a more permanent problem and had to address my inability to ask for help and my stubbornness to accept that I couldn't manage alone. I needed to allow myself to be helped, and this experience has taught me how to admit weakness in other areas of my life too. To not struggle alone when there are practical problems to face, but also emotional and spiritual challenges, We cannot be strong the whole time. St. Paul says in Romans that the church should love one another with brotherly affection. And Jesus says whoever does the will of God is brother and sister and mother. The church is not just a community, but a family. God says we're all his children. I need support, and I've probably learnt that the hard way. And the church family hold each other up through bad times and celebrate with one another in good times. Every so often I speak to people who are not churchgoers, who have a problem in their lives or in the lives of someone they love, and they've run out of ideas of what to do to help them, so they ask me to pray for their loved one. The support of the church can come in practical ways, but also through prayer. This makes the church different from other social clubs or community groups. We so need to deepen our prayer. The church family does not exist in its own strength. It is not the power of the people who pray, but it is Jesus who gives us the gifts to care for one another. Jesus didn't come to this earth for those who were confident and professional and competent and sorted. He came because we were weak and making mistakes. Shows us the way to live and the way to God. Which brings me to my second comment that I hear. The church is not just for people who need a crutch, but is full of hypocrites. Is there more to church than this? No, there isn't. The church is absolutely a place for hypocrites. In fact, it's full of people making all sorts of mistakes the whole time. The church family is a family of people who have different gifts and talents. Jesus describes us as members of the body having different functions. The church is amazing at having people with complementary talents and gifts doing different things. However, in a body, the foot can work to walk or to kick. The hand can work to help or hit. The tongue can say words of love or hate. Like any group in society, people will be tempted to do things which are not for the good of all. We can pray the Lord's Prayer and say, "Thy will be done," and then say something which is unkind and quite blatantly not, therefore, God's will. That's hypocritical. But perhaps it's because we set ourselves such high standards, doing God's will, living a perfect life, and that's going to be hard. It's ludicrous. Preachers are most usually criticized for not practicing what they preach. I, and I suspect my colleagues, are all too aware of this. But I would not want to stop saying, "Thy will be done." I long for God's will to be done in all things. In my prayers, I confess my sins. I know I am a hypocrite. But I also know that I am loved because I return to Jesus over and over again, and he speaks to me and holds me and reassures me of a place in this family. The gospel, the good news, tells us that we can't make ourselves strong. We need to draw on the source of love and strength and power, and that is Jesus, who, while we were still weak, died for us. He helps us when we're in the mud and stuck in a rut. Then when we struggle and think we can rescue ourselves, the deeper we get stuck. It's like those situations where you say the wrong thing and you get deeper and deeper into trouble trying to talk your way out of it. Been in one of those? Usually a case of mistaken identity. You're talking to somebody who you think you know and they turn out to be someone entirely different. Or you're talking to somebody who you don't think you know, and from the conversation you realise you must have spoken to them several times before. Actually, there's usually only one satisfactory way of sorting out the situation, and that's admitting you're wrong and someone else coming and bailing you out. We may be hypocrites because we speak of the highest love, and we often do love as Jesus loved us. And at that point, the church is a beautiful thing. There are always going to be times when we make mistakes. But that's what we do in church. We recognize that we're hypocrites some of the time. We're weak and muck things up, and we need Jesus to help us. And our brothers and sisters in the church family support us, whatever we need, including prayer for ourselves and those we're concerned about. The more we recognize our need, the more we can be changed and become the people God created us to be, to fulfill our potential and be able to say, "Thy will be done," and actually do it. So the church is for people who need a crutch and for hypocrites, but we are people who recognize it and seek Jesus to help us. With Jesus' power, the church does do extraordinary things in our society. Many of them are hidden, but impact lives. There are plenty of other perceptions of the church which I don't have time to address, but I'd be really happy to talk to you about them afterwards. Sky said there's coffee set up at the side there. If you've got a perception of church which you'd like to challenge me on, I'd be really pleased to try and rise to that. I want to close by saying there's undoubtedly more to the church than can be seen from outside. In order to discover what the church has to offer, we have to make the step to join in with the family. So I want to give you an invitation, really. If you've been sitting around the edges for a while and not sure, or you're visiting today and you're not sure how to get involved, have a look at the website, stop for a coffee, have a chat with someone. Say hello and come again, and maybe go on the pilgrim course. Give us a chance to show you who we are and that there is more. We are just a group of people. But as we come together, Jesus says that he is present with us, and that makes a difference. We experience the power of the Holy Spirit to lead us. We're all on a journey in life, and we benefit from guidance and support of the bigger family, which seeks to explore our spirituality as well as all the other things we need in life. Finally, in our first reading today, we hear of one of the first Christians, Stephen, being stoned because he was a member of the church. I hope that if I was ever put in a position where I had to defend my brothers and sisters of this church, I would know my weakness. Not so that I would give in, but so that I could receive that supernatural crutch, the support of Christ, so that I could stand firm whatever the cost. And do you know, I love the church so much. I love my brothers and sisters. I think I would stand firm, whatever the cost. And this time, I don't think I'm being hypocritical in saying so. Amen.